come with us now, if you dare, down a rickety staircase into a dank, dark basement. What awaits? The Saturday Night Freak Show.
Thanks for listening to the Saturday Night Freak Show podcast. Every Saturday night, the Freak Show happens, whether you're ready for it or not, right here on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, and more. Also, you can write to us, or you can find us on Facebook.
Facebook.com/Saturday Night Freak Show.
On Twitter.
@SatFreakShow.
Or you can write to us via email.
SaturdayNightFreakShow@Yahoo.com.
And we'll read your comments in the...
Yay, we did it!
We've been practicing. Yeah, we'll read your comments later in the Igor's mailbag section of the podcast. And we'll summon Igor to bring us the mail. We're a movie review podcast. We sit around in a basement, watch movies, and talk about them for your entertainment and listening pleasure. And the people who will talk about it are the internet radio superstars.
Sean.
Michaela.
Holly.
And I'm Colin. And tonight the movie was chosen by Holly.
Yeah.
What did we watch tonight, Holly?
We watched Demolition Man.
The timeless classic from the year?
1993.
That's important, I think, because of tonight's subject matter, which is...
The future.
The future, Holly?
The future.
Yeah, sure.
In the year 2032, two men, one woman, in a world where love was against the law.
I mean, that's
no, that's
true.
Yeah, that's it.
Really true.
And Benjamin Bratt as well.
That's the movie.
I've always wanted to do that.
And Dennis Leary.
Yeah. And a little Rob Dennis Schneider.
Well, that's right. Yeah, he was in it so briefly, yeah. I forgot. Yeah.
He's
yeah.
not even, like, his credit is really low yeah. in the movie, yeah. too. Yeah,
he's, like, this sixth was down.
Yeah. Before Judge Dredd, right?
Where yeah.
Team
yeah.
met Stallone and Judge Dredd again.
They had yeah. so much fun on this movie that they decided so much let's fun. Make a buddy movie. This yeah. movie is rated R for nonstop action violence and for strong language. No nudity.
There's yeah, there was.
No, no nudity mentioned.
Oh, yeah.
Weird.
So just, fleeting.
Just nonstop action violence.
Nonstop.
Like, is that's that a thing great, you put on there anymore? Great. Nonstop
action
violence.
I love these sci-fi action wow. violence. I don't know what the hell that is either. But,
it's like, oh, no. It says right here, nonstop.
Yeah, nonstop.
Yes,
non-stop. And everybody goes, that's a selling point in my book, right?
Right,
nonstop
yeah.
action violence. Sweet. That's also part of like what this movie is about, right? It's a... critique of some okay, so I guess Demolition Man is trying to be two things at once, maybe. The two things that kind of conflict with each other.
Sci-fi action?
Well, on one hand, it's trying to be a brainless action movie of the 1990s.
Right.
And on the same time, it's trying to be a clever social commentary.
Mm. Right.
Yeah.
Of where America is headed. Or where it is going to be in the future. Not really, because we're talking about...
Or what would be the perfect future? Mm-hmm. And what would be a better future, mm-hmm. according to these people?
But not.
Well,
but,
yeah, but not the filmmakers. The filmmakers, no, the filmmakers are clearly in the case of, like, the 90s are awesome.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, yeah.
You're damn right they are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As demonstrated by Sandra Bullock's character, who is obsessed with the 90s.
Right.
Indeed.
Very peculiar.
She is all of us.
It's good to know in the year 2032, the two things that survive are Lethal Weapon 3 and Red Hot Chili Peppers, because that's what's on her wall in the yep. office.
The Lethal Weapon 3 poster is because the set designer for this movie was the set designer for Lethal Weapon 3.
Yep. I was going to say, why 3?
Why 3? It's so specific.
Why,
that's why.
That makes sense. I'd put my own shit in there, too.
Mm-hmm, like, right?
Yeah.
Actually, this movie has a lot of that.
Yeah.
A lot.
And it's produced by Joel Silver, who produced Lethal Weapon, the whole entire action. Lethal Weapon series.
Every action movie of the 90s?
Yeah, basically.
Anything where they blow up a building. If it's not Terminator 2, it's a Joel Silver movie, right? Mm-hmm. I think that was just like, this had to be like the crown jewel in the building explosion movies. Like, he blew up two movies in Lethal Weapon 3. There's the one at the very beginning.
And they do it
one
again
after the
credits. Yeah, the end credits scene, they blow up another one.
It seems to be a theme with him. Start and end with an explosion.
Yeah. Bookend it.
Start, yeah, you know? Start strong, end
yeah.
strong.
What's it works. Than, you know. It works. I like it. I don't
can't
know.
Top it.
He's all about that symmetry.
It's true.
Yeah. This is a very, well, I think that was also what was going, you know, you said that all the lines, the situations from the beginning of the movie are repeated at the end of the movie. It was a thing that, like, I think they were just doing in the 90s. I mean,
oh,
I remember
for sure.
It seems like most of the big Hollywood action films of the time were doing that kind of stuff, which was, you know, I guess catering to or building or solidifying the formula, right? Which we'd go on for, you know, the next, well, what, 20 years trying to break that formula in our films.
Right.
So.
Right, yeah. We just killed the conversation. Everybody's like, yep. Yeah. Yeah, we were having fun. They brought that up.
Explosions.
All right.
Sex helmets.
Sex helmets.
Sex helmets. Great band name.
Yeah, there you go.
Sex helmets.
Yeah. I'd go copyright see the, it. I'd, copyright
2017 Saturday Night Freak Show. I'd go see the sex helmets. That'd be fun.
I feel like I already did. I know.
How much technology predicted in this movie for the young year of 1993?
Almost
did
none.
It get right? What are you talking about?
None. Conference Skyping.
Yeah.
iPads.
Basically, I like that the bezel on their version of the iPad is like 5 feet thick.
Yeah, exactly.
It's great. You have like this big a touch screen. It's like we got to build the technology around it.
It's like a proton pack iPad.
It's weird. It's like they couldn't just like envision it and then build it. Whether it was, they made it look like it was like, well, we have to actually make this.
Yeah.
So they had all the technology built around a screen.
Yeah. It has just a TV inside of it. Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, and all their TVs are standard definition, which is kind of weird to look at now. You're like, what the hell? Like, oh.
Yeah.
It's standard def.
His room key was like this, the card touch, whatever you want to call it. I can't. I don't know what to call it.
He touched it. He opened it with the touch.
The hotel room card key.
Yeah. That's it.
The voice activated lights, that's a thing too.
Yeah.
So.
That's very true. The Siri in the car, whatever voice activated appliances.
We're getting to self-drive.
Self-driving cars.
We're getting there. Yeah. Although I doubt any of them will have that cool steering wheel.
Yeah, that steering wheel is pretty dope. Yeah.
Like that would be a great option.
Have you seen the stuff they're talking about with like the electric cars of the future? You don't need a steering wheel. Steering wheel is a thing of the past.
I'll keep my steering wheel. Yeah. I'll keep my steering wheel. We got enough problems where people can just hack the car you're driving anyway.
Yeah.
I'm just going to keep driving cars before the year 1990.
What about the parallel park feature where they just do it for you? Are you going to do that?
Yeah, but I can do that.
Mister, I can parallel park over here.
Parallel park. That bullshit. I do it so much.
I know what I'm doing. I need no damn computers.
Yeah.
I'm going to be fucking Dennis Leary in the future. I'm just going to live underground, eat rat burgers.
You wouldn't survive a day.
Probably not. No, as long as if I had my cats, I'd be fine. That's all I need.
And there'd be no rats for the rat burgers.
Eat my cats.
As long as you have your cats and your vinyl. Your records.
Yes, I've almost completed my turn to full hipster. I'm so very close. A few more inches on this beard and I am there.
Yeah. Yes.
Fantastic. Yeah.
Thank you.
But sex helmets, they don't exist yet.
Coming. They're called virtual reality helmets, and you'll have the dolls or whatever. So, I mean, we're almost there. I was actually kind of surprised that they had the quote-unquote laser disc, which is basically the tiny version of the DVD.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they couldn't see far enough in the future to realize that, you know, at some point we're not even going to need physical media at all.
Yeah, right.
In 1993, it was like, well, we still have these discs. They had those in RoboCop. I remember seeing RoboCop predicted the DVD.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, there it is.
Hey, this movie was just all about the nonstop action violence, okay? It's not about the technology.
Yeah. Very true.
Obviously.
All right, so
Taco Bell.
I mean, do we have to lay out what this movie is actually about? I mean, in case you're living under a rock, everybody knows what the Demolition Man is about, right?
I think so.
I mean, they should.
I mean... Mm-hmm.
But maybe it's been a while since they've seen it.
I can't imagine what a horrible life that would be.
Right.
Maybe they haven't revisited in a while. And they're just like, it wasn't that the Wesley Snipes Stallone movie? Yeah, I kind of remember that one. Maybe they don't know.
Yeah. Well, it's like the future, and these two guys are 20th century criminals. Well, they're a criminal and a cop, and they're thawed out, and they have to fight each other in the future. Yes. There you go, bam. Mm.
There it is.
That's it.
Yeah. So now we can just dive right into what this movie is actually about.
the pitching process of movies in the 1990s.
High concept.
Yep.
Well, first you pass around the Coke to everyone, and then you say that, and that's how every movie in the 80s and 90s
maybe
got made.
Maybe add a couple of bams.
Yeah.
Get it, bam.
And then an explosion, and then another explosion at the end.
And then get this. Yeah.
Joel Silver famously had the whammy chart. He would actually put it up on the wall. It's like, here's where the whammies would happen. Yeah. That's how he built his movie.
That's a real thing. thing.
Character. Oh, yeah. That, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's how you build an action movie. Michael Bay is probably still using that.
Yeah. Probably.
Yeah. Yeah. Probably. Probably.
It's weird how that happened because it was like Joel Silver and then eventually Jerry Bruckheimer.
Bruckheimer,
right. Bruckheimer yeah. seemed to have, you know, eventually mm-hmm. morphed into something in the 2000s.
We did.
Well, I mean, we in the royal we, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had a group of, like, I don't know, eighth graders on a tour today. We asked them, you know, like, what was what's your favorite, you know, like, movies of the Transformers. Transformers is their favorite.
See, I mean, but when, what else? When I see the kids' tours come through, I put on my headphones.
He's just like, shh, you don't watch that shit. No Transformers.
Yeah. So the spectacle, the big budget stuff still works.
But why would you watch Transformers when you could watch this? Like, this is like in the same vein of movies, but it's way more interesting.
Yeah, I won't show my kid Transformers.
Bad parenting.
He's going to Ghostbusters, man.
That's right.
He's already got that going. It's like, you stick with that.
Yeah.
It's good enough.
And when he's of age, Demolition Man.
I mean, yeah, we'll just go through them. We'll get the 90s out of it. It's like, this is what I used to love. And then he's going to be like, Dad, why did you like this stuff?
Yeah. Yeah, that's
who is Sylvester Stallone? Yeah. He'll have no idea. No idea.
Yeah.
So when they're frozen in cryo jail, they're put in like this tank and it's filled up with this like gloopy
KY jelly.
Yeah. Okay. Which, so they're basically frozen while they're drowning, which is horrible. Yeah. And everyone's like, and like they're in weirdly shaped tanks that don't seem efficient or, you know, would fit the human body in a nice way.
Or are they efficient because they make them smaller, easier for storage?
But everyone's like pretzeled up in the same weird way in these tanks. But do you guys, okay, do you guys remember Planet Hollywood, when Planet Hollywood was a big thing?
Yeah.
Do you remember that they used to have Stallone in the ice hanging from the ceiling?
Yes.
What? Yeah.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Naked Stallone in the ice hanging from the ceiling of Planet Hollywood. That was like my introduction to this movie because I was like, what the fuck is that from?
Yeah.
Went to Planet Hollywood and I was like, what? Yeah.
Mommy.
Kind of surprised they didn't make it into a table instead of hanging it from the ceiling.
That would have been better, right?
Yeah. Like, oh, you eat on naked table frozen today. Stallone. Yeah.
That's genius.
But yeah. That's probably where they're just
like, Planet Hollywood closed. Maybe we can buy one.
They'll have to fog out
every single one of them.
Yeah. Planet Hollywood in Vegas is still open and it's awesome.
I'll go check
it
out.
Very true.
The hotel, if you want to see a celebrity, there's a good chance there's going to be some at Planet Hollywood.
Yeah, there is.
Yeah. It's,
still, they still go there? Wow.
Yeah, no, I know someone that Tom Hardy bought them a bunch of drinks there.
Nice. What? Well,
I know, awesome. I cry myself to sleep thinking about it. Yeah.
Well, I'm just curious about what the, like the criminal justice system in the future then by freezing people, like how is this a punishment? Everybody else gets to live and die.
It's
except
not about
for,
punishment, I think it's more about rehabilitation at this point.
Yeah, but you're going to be rehabilitated 30 odd years in the future. So, like, you get to leapfrog past, you know, I guess that's the idea, right? It's the that
you are
everything
cut off. Yeah.
That you know and love, and all your friends, family, and all that are going to be dead, and you're going to be on parole. And that's your sentence.
Right.
But it's weird because they get like a second chance at life. Like you're the same age.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like you just go on pause for a while, and then, okay. Now we're going to try again.
Seems really expensive to the taxpayer, too.
But we don't necessarily know that they're just going to let the criminals go. They might, like, break them out and then put them to some use where they're not, like, free. Parole might mean something else in
like
this future.
Like a seamstress?
Sure. So, yeah, give them a job.
Yeah,
something
you get
like
reprogrammed
that.
In your sleep with the whatever.
The rehab.
The neural whatever and what have yous. And, you know.
Mm-hmm. Brain stuff.
Yeah, the brain stuff. But well, they probably put them to use at some point. Maybe, again, not total freedom, but...
Well, it's interesting that the future, I think, is, you know, I mean, like, basically whenever you do the future in science fiction, it seems like it usually comes down in one of two ways. You're either going to have the dystopia, right, of, like, I don't know, what you call it? Yeah, Blade Runner, I suppose, is a dystopian movie, right?
Sure, or,
It seems a little, it's not as, it doesn't seem as dire as other movies have made it, like, desolate.
Escape from New York, then, or Escape
or like the nuclear holocaust in future.
Yeah,
it's not as bad as that.
I think Escape from L.A. was popping in my head because that was like around the same time of this movie, right? Giving a look at a futuristic Los Angeles.
Yes,
in this movie, San Angeles, because it's just become a sprawl, right? The entire
Los Angeles had more surfing
Western
though, in
seaboard
that movie than this one. Way more surfing.
That's true. This movie goes the other way and becomes a utopia. Is it a utopia? Is this the message of the movie that a utopian ideal is still corrupt?
There's no such thing as a utopia.
What are you talking about? Everybody lives in happy, joy places and they're being well to each other. They love it there.
They don't think for themselves, Colin. They're a bunch of schmucks.
I think that's the distinction, right? It's like when George Orwell wrote 1984, the idea, or Fahrenheit 451, right? The Ray Bradbury.
Right.
The idea was that there was going to be a totalitarian state where, you know, people would be burning books and suppressing thought. THX-1138's another one. Yeah. And then you had Brave New World, which by Aldous Huxley.
Yeah.
And
not so subtle reference.
Greatly influenced this movie.
Lena, which is another character in Brave New World. Yeah. So not subtle at all. They're really punching it hard there.
And in this one, you basically like, what was the Mike Judge movie?
Idiocracy,
right? Where it's like you won't need totalitarianism because everybody's basically just going to be an idiot and they won't be able to think for themselves. Mm-hmm. So underneath this, you have the actual class of – they're not even like freedom fighters.
They're not really fighting for anything. They're just kind of living
They're creating a separate society underground where they can just avoid all the rules. Because in this society, anything that's bad for you, salt, alcohol, sex, anything is outlawed. Which I'm just like, what the fuck do these people do with all their free time?
What the fuck do they do all the time?
Sex helmets.
Sex helmets and radio jingles. jingles are their favorite genre of music in this movie. That was the most baffling
funny,
thing.
Though.
Yeah.
When you think about it, like they don't, I guess music would be considered bad, right?
But what makes
so they outlaw it?
But jingles are promoting a product that could potentially be like hot dogs aren't great for you. And they were singing the fucking hot dog jingle.
It's like a harmless nostalgia they look at it like.
Probably.
Like this is a thing of the past. They don't exist now. So it's not. Mm-hmm. Plus, it's not, I don't think, delivering a message that can corrupt anybody in the future.
Yeah. Well, that's how I was confused, I guess, because whenever they needed to know, you know, something about the past or something. Somebody at some point made a reference to a book. I can't remember what it was. I think it was the police captain. He said something and I'm like, now how the hell does he know what that is? Because that would be a book that apparently nobody reads. Nobody is aware of anything from the 20th century that something happened. The great purge or something.
There was the earthquake that they talked about.
Like an uprising or something also that took place, and this guy Cocteau comes to power in San Angeles or forms San Angeles, and with his idea of the criminal the cryo prison just by itself, apparently he institutes the New World Order. I'm like, how far out does this go? Is this just
that's what I was wondering.
What's happening in the rest of the world? Yeah.
Yeah. There doesn't appear to be a mayor or anything or any kind of.
Person in charge, a hierarchy. Right. There's no hierarchy of power there. It kind of all just goes to him, doesn't it?
Yeah, because Phoenix eventually takes over. Yeah. And after Phoenix is out of the picture, then it's like, well, Edgar Friendly.
What do we do? How do we live?
Resistance fighter. I guess you're the next guy in charge. Like, how the fuck is this working?
Yeah.
That's a good point.
But I'm all for the green jelly. Thing that he's
that was like
that'd be funny.
This movie was made at the height of Dennis Leary being Dennis Leary, and you can tell because they were like, here, just improvise something for this whole scene.
Yeah. It's true that when he was cast for that part, they actually rewrote it because like, oh, we have Dennis Leary now, we want him to rant.
Yeah, it feels so, like because he's okay, do it's, what you
he's
do.
He's workshopping his stand up. Yeah, like
because I think that was like the first time that I'd heard it. Well, like I knew the name, but hadn't seen his show.
Right.
And then, you know, Demolition Man. And then you find out like, oh, all of his stuff is exactly like this.
Yep.
Like, oh, that's why you're right. That's why you're cast in it.
Yes.
I think this movie has like my favorite coincidence of any movie ever just by like prop master choice. When Wesley Snipes character Simon Phoenix is being unfrozen and they like look at the logs to see who else had hearings that day. One of the prisoners in cryo jail's name is Scott Peterson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That worked out in their favor hugely in the future.
I know.
Holy shit.
It was what, like 9 years after this movie?
Yeah, it was like 2002, 2003 that Scott Peterson was like tried for
murder. And it was
murder.
In like the same area.
Yeah, same area of California. Yeah.
Like an hour from LA. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah.
To be fair, that's a pretty generic name.
But that was a really high-profile case, though.
By the makers of this film.
Ooh, dun, dun, dun. Ooh, we better check the other names that were on that list.
Yeah, what else is on there?
Well, they also predicted that Arnold Schwarzenegger would have, like, a career in politics.
Mm-hmm.
It's true.
And
I mean, he did marry a Kennedy. He was kind of destined
for it. I think that was why.
That,
right?
That's why, yeah. And I'm sure he'd always said, like, one day I'll be president. Like, I'm sure that was a thing. Schwarzenegger is, like, declaring this to his friends and everything. I guarantee
I remember, because at that time, I remember thinking, like, that didn't seem like a crazy outside, you know, possibility. I mean, you know, when they mentioned it in this movie. Like, right. What? It's like, I realize that Stallone and Schwarzenegger are friends and that that was like an in-joke, but that's clearly about like political aspirations that he had or must have
that
voiced.
That he was harboring. Was he had to have at that point. I'm sure he did.
Yeah, this movie's got some fantastic one-liners. They don't always work. A lot of them feel pretty ham-fisted. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think they're
hilarious.
Fantastic.
They're so ridiculous.
The entire dialogue. I swear to God, most of the, like, what are we saying? Like 60 to 70% of the dialogue in this movie is one-liners.
Oh, and I'm fine with that. I'd live for that.
And
I
why
love
else are you
it.
Going to this movie?
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Like,
well, right. Yeah. I
mean, cheese it up, man.
If anything, I was disappointed they didn't come up with better original ones at the end instead of reusing the ones they did at the beginning. I was like, come on. Or add to it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Very true.
Yeah.
Yeah, because what do you do? I don't know. Yeah, it just seemed like the dialogue was like, I'm like, wow, movies really were written just like this way back in the day.
Like, yes. Written.
There's nothing. Yeah. Right. It's not improv. I mean, it is all based on like just kind of having like an upbeat tempo and a jokey kind of, you know, air about it.
Yeah,
but it's something that
like
the first Transformers movie. You know, I mean, they've done it in all
Man,
of them,
you really want to
remember,
talk about Transformers today, don't you?
It's like, whenever we talk about generic, you know, like action movies, it's like Transformers, I think, has got to be there as the
Colin had
example.
An agenda coming in tonight, and he's like, we're going to talk about it. I don't give a shit if we're watching. That's what we're going to do.
But it did the you know, like, I mean, everything that comes out of Shia LaBeouf's mouth is, you know, like a joke. Like, they've workshopped the jokes in that script to perfection.
Even when it, well,
it was fun. It was fun.
Giving them a lot of credit.
Yeah. I mean, even the stuff that his parents say in that movie are just, it's the cringeworthiest
Everything's
stuff.
Everything's a
really
skit.
Is.
Oh. Every single scene's a skit.
Everything,
but everything is a skit in this movie, I think, too. I mean, every situation that happens. Because I'm like, these aren't even really characters. At least the Simon Phoenix character. I mean, how would you make like a three-dimensional character out of that, right? It's more you're carrying the brunt of the character on the personality of the actor playing him on Wesley Snipes and his costume design.
His costume design is like the most 90s thing.
Yeah,
it put into one person. He's got overalls.
He's like Black Mario.
Yeah. He's got overalls over a like red mesh tank top.
Yeah.
And blonde
hair with a sculpt in it. It's got like a ridge going across.
Right, and it's got like a fade on the side too.
Colored eyes. Yep. Yeah. Blue eye and a brown eye.
I think I never noticed until now.
Yeah.
Thank you, Blu-ray.
Well, in the beginning, I thought he kind of looked like the Joker or something. He had like a black and white checkered
jacket and striped pants.
I was thinking Beetlejuice.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I'm in a little bit of those striped pants, but loud clothing. It was the 90s. Loud.
Oh, yeah.
I love that this movie opened with Stallone in a helicopter saying, gotta send a maniac to catch one. And then jumping out of the helicopter yelling, Phoenix! As he falls to the ground.
What are you doing? You're not going to get a
I'm already,
drop
I'm sold.
By yelling
I'm sold.
His name as you jump into the building.
This is how every cop in Los Angeles gets to work. I mean, come on. You know, you go in with the...
No, but this is what they all want now. This is like how they imagine themselves. Fucking Stallone.
Yeah. No, it is a fantastic way of like getting to work every day. Right in a chopper, jump out. You know exactly how much, you know, cable length.
How much length you need to bungee jump onto a building. Oh,
is there a 90s action movie that does not feature a helicopter?
No, that was that was it.
That's it.
Man, helicopter budgets must have been really high in the 90s.
That was it. Helicopters and everything. Yeah. And I just keep going back to every Lethal Weapon. Like, there's a helicopter now.
Yeah.
Diehards. Is that helicopter now? Yeah. Die Hard and a helicopter?
You got to go for the low budget.
Part 2 at a plane.
Chuck Norris movies. Even those have helicopters.
Part 3 a helicopter.
Invasion USA and all that shit. Yeah.
Everything had a helicopter.
Yeah,
True Lies had a helicopter.
Budget.
True Lies
man.
Had a fucking jet.
Yeah, it did.
Damn.
Yeah, it did.
That's because of James Cameron. Like, he upped it. It's like, no, I don't want. I mean, we have a helicopter, sure, but we're also going to have a jet that destroys the helicopter. God bless James Cameron.
So for the roles.
Past James Cameron, as we were discussing.
Let's not go back into a James Cameron conversation.
Yeah, we already had that.
That was our dinner conversation.
we already damned him.
That's early. Right. Watch out or I'll bring up the Transformers again.
God, what else can you say?
In comparison to this, I don't know. Give me time. I'll get to her.
All right, you bring it up.
So originally for the roles of John Spartan and Simon Phoenix, they wanted Steven Seagal for John Spartan.
Okay,
and JCVD.
Ooh.
For Simon Phoenix, and Jean-Claude Van Damme was like, I'll do it if you let me be John Spartan, and Seagal's like, fuck no, I want to be the good guy, and so both of them exited the project, and they went through several other people who all had the same complaint, no, I want to be the good guy, which I was like, this is like the funnest bad guy ever,
right?
Why wouldn't you want to be this bad guy?
And then even when they signed Stallone, they still wasn't sure on the bad guy. He wanted Jackie Chan. And Jackie
Is that
Chan.
Why they make the joke?
That's why they make the Jackie Chan joke. Jackie Chan said no because his Asian audience would not like him being a bad guy.
He doesn't like that. He doesn't play bad guys. It's not a thing.
That would be a very different movie.
Wow. Very different.
Yeah. Very. Oh, wow. Yeah.
I'm just thinking, like, it's a significantly lower budget movie with Van Damme and Seagal.
Right.
Even though that was probably the height of their popularity.
But yeah, they were popular then, too.
Mm-hmm. Under Siege was like right around the year before or something. So that was like.
Bloodsport was like. 88.
Yeah.
And Universal Soldier.
But he would have been
Universal Soldier.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah. And past the hard target and all that other stuff. No helicopter. Wait, is there?
One was hard to kill. I always bring that up. It's my favorite Seagal movie. Hard to Kill's great.
Is that the one in Jamaica? That's the one for death.
More than Under Siege?
Out for Justice?
I like Under Siege. I like Under Siege 2 because I grew up with that one.
On the train?
On the train.
Oh, hell yeah.
That that's a great, bad 90s fucking
that I know what we're going to be watching in a couple weeks,
that's
probably.
Wonderful. That's coming up. It's a sequel, so Sean's going to pick it.
Catherine Heigl's in that movie.
Catherine Heigl is in that movie.
She's young. She's his niece.
I just remember the bad guy is Eric Bogosian, who's in a great Oliver Stone movie called Talk Radio. That's all I know him from. So there you go. Bam. Knowledge drop. All right.
What did you guys think about Sandra Bullock's performance in this movie?
Adequate?
I mean, she does what she's supposed to be doing. She's supposed to be kind of a
cheeseball fangirl.
She's very cheeseball. But, I mean, she's supposed to be. She was brought up in that future world. She has a fascination with the 90s. And,
which is, like, illegal from the point of view of the... Of the movie.
Yeah, which I guess they just let it pass because she's got enough stuff there to put her away forever.
Her whole office and her office is covered in that, in 90s paraphernalia, just everywhere. And not necessarily good stuff, just what she can find.
Right.
Like,
she seems a little dim.
Yeah.
Yeah. I found her grating, but I think you're supposed to find her that way.
Yeah. Right. There's a comment on her performance.
More than the Rob Schneider or the Benjamin Bratt character.
But they're in it for a lot less than she is.
That's
though.
True.
Like, Rob Schneider does a laughing scene, which was pretty funny, and that's about it.
Yeah.
Just fades in
Benjamin Bratt sings that jingle with her, and that was like, I'm done. That's enough of you, Benjamin Bratt. Yeah. We're good.
I forgot that they were together in this. Miss Congeniality being years later. It's like, you guys got a thing. You guys are friends. You don't laugh at Miss Congeniality. Don't laugh at me.
It's a great movie.
It's a good movie.
Who says that's what I was laughing at? That's totally what I was laughing at.
Yeah, I know. It's a good movie. You shut up.
It's a movie. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, Benjamin Bratt shows up at the end, and he's like, underground guy now.
I'm with the street toughs now.
Because
his hair. You can tell because his hair.
His hair's a little roughed up, and he curses.
Why does they completely borrow the aesthetic of, like, Mad Max for the Morlocks or whatever, the people who live underground?
Because when you think underground, you think...
Mad Max?
Salvaging junk you can find, I guess.
The scraps? Is that what they were? The scraps?
The scraps, yeah.
Yeah, the scraps. Yeah.
Yeah,
which makes
sense. Yeah, because the one that robbed Taco Bell was credited as Taco Bell scrap.
Taco Bell scrap.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know?
You probably did.
Taco Bell, which won the
franchise
wars. The franchise wars was replaced in the international versions of this movie with Pizza Hut because nobody knows who the hell Taco Bell is outside of the United States.
It's true.
That's funny. That's weird because most other ones are known outside of the United States. Mm-hmm. McDonald's is definitely
KFC,
Pizza Hut,
KFC,
all
that
stuff. But Taco Bell is strictly
Mexican food.
American.
Doesn't travel. It's they have their own regional Indian or whatever. Yeah, but Pizza Hut travels. Yeah. So my question
pizza
is, why don't you just make the movie with Pizza Hut?
Because Taco Bell agreed.
Then you don't have to go and reshoot scenes. Because I was like, did they go and fix this in post? But every shot of the doors of the restaurant, which is etched in glass, the Taco Bell logo.
Did they bring them Pizza Hut stuff? Or did they just cut out the food being brought in
Well, I think the food would be the same because the restaurant.
It's not actually.
Called,
yeah, it's just, it's not actually yeah. Taco Bell food.
They serve whatever.
Like, it looks like little corn and burritos, doesn't it?
No.
What is it?
It was just
little
like
balls.
Future
of
food, dude.
The truck that fish when they were robbing the truck, food. There was like shrimp and stuff in there.
Yeah.
So, but we should
shellfish.
Yeah, they like he picks the meat up that was, tub.
I don't know
was, like,
where fish
of,
landed on.
Yeah.
The,
yeah. Oh yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
I'm sure we can find this.
Isn't that unclean or something?
Yeah, you'd think.
Not good.
I don't know.
We should really set up the scene where Rob Schneider has his great laugh because that's probably one of the best scenes in this whole fucking movie.
I don't even know what you're talking
about.
Okay. He's like, this whole thing.
So,
oh, no, about the three seashells. Oh,
yes, right, exactly. Right. So, oh, yeah, John Spartan's thing. Unfrozen and he's adjusting to this new society. He's got to take a shit. He comes out of the bathroom.
Future people still shit.
Yep. Yeah. He comes out of the bathroom and leans over to Sandra Bullock and says, "You're out of toilet paper." And all the cops, Rob Schneider, they all have a fucking laughing fit saying he doesn't know about the three seashells. And so, you know, John Spartan's like, "What the fuck? Three seashells?" You know, figures out pretty quickly that if he swears a bunch, he can get paper from the machine that writes you tickets if you swear, and goes and wipes his ass with those tickets.
A joke I did as a young child.
Yeah, I can see that going.
No, I mean, no. Oh. It's like, why is he cursing?
Even I got that.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, it's paper.
So I know the answer to this. Do you guys know how the three seashells actually work?
Yeah.
Okay.
I read this one day, but I had forgotten.
Yeah.
It's pretty gross, but.
Yeah, okay. All right. I remember it now. I remember.
Oh, how they work?
Yeah. How you actually use them as toilet paper, the three seashells?
I heard Stallone's theory, which was disgusting. That's
probably the one. Yeah.
All
it's been proven.
Sandra Bullock's theory.
Yeah.
The MTV movie.
I've heard that too.
Somebody asked her.
There's like an official thing now.
Yeah.
It's
like a diagram.
Two of them are like chopsticks that pull the turd out, and then the third one scrapes the leftover. That's how they are used, which is somehow in the future better than toilet paper.
Why is that better?
Yeah.
It's not.
Toilet paper was not making us a violent society.
Yeah.
What did she say?
Well, she said it was obvious. There was a number one, a number two, and a cleanup.
Yeah. It's all bullshit.
She says, like, today.
Yeah.
There's not an actual reason.
Yeah,
how do they get sanitized?
I don't know.
They're future things. They have walls that clean
things.
Graffiti.
But they're just sitting on a shelf, though. Just put your shitty seashells back on the shelf when you're done?
But do you know how
they suck the shit right out of your ass and then spray? No, I don't know.
Thank you future for joining us, listener, for this in-depth conversation about the seashells. Glad you're here.
This is the question that everybody
the
wants
seashells.
To answer
really
about
is.
The movie.
The seashells
Demolition.
Are meaningless. Daniel Waters, the writer.
They are actually meaningless.
Yeah.
Daniel Waters, the writer, was trying to think of a funny thing to put in the bathroom to confuse Sylvester Stallone. He's in his own bathroom. He's trying to think of it. He makes a call to his buddy, who's also a screenwriter. Says, I need to come up with a futuristic thing to put in the bathroom in this movie I'm writing to confuse my character. What do we do? And the guy's in his the other guy on the other end of the phone is in his bathroom taking his shit, talking on the phone. He looks around, says, "I got a bag of seashells." He goes, "All right, I'll make something out of it."
That's all right, it.
That's the seashells.
That is exactly how I expected.
Yeah,
that's
that
it.
Happened.
I always thought it was because my grandparents. I don't know how, but both sets of them always had little decorative soaps on the back of the toilet, and they were always seashells. And I never understood why. It was always there.
Well, it's a nautical theme. I don't know. You're in a bathroom and you're
you've
with water.
You've got
I like Colin's bathroom has seashells.
Yeah. Just little seashell soap in both sets of grandparents' houses.
No, my grandma had seashell soaps too.
That's just the thing
you did.
That's
I think what I they solved did. It. It's because there you're it in a room that's full of water. You're in the water closet.
I mean, technically, yeah. That's very true.
Water, nautical, seashells. Sure.
There
boom.
It is.
Next thing, lighthouses. Yeah, fishing nets.
You're just describing
the bathroom.
Bathroom.
In great detail.
This is where it goes.
Sex helmets.
Yeah, sex helmets.
It's going to be our bring us back to focus.
Sex helmets.
Yeah, right, sex helmets.
Well, in the future, there's an amusing scene. Well, you've probably seen the movie where they have sex is outlawed. People don't touch anymore. They don't. Everybody procreates through going to a lab. This
nice.
Is all like lifted directly from Brave New World, right? I mean, this movie is just like taking, I wouldn't say it's like, not, it doesn't draw from it heavy enough to actually be considered like
it's
mashing
not,
up Brave
it's
New
not
World
like loosely
with,
based on Brave, New,
no,
Brave
I don't
New
know
World.
This Brave
some
New
of
World
these,
speak of.
Really?
No, I don't.
Aldous Huxley?
No.
It was banned in schools.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, I'm all for that.
Yeah.
Not it the banning of things in schools, but the reading of banned books. Yeah.
It's about a guy who's a he's not the main character, but a guy who is a savage who lives a savage compared to quote-unquote civilized.
Like Stallone was
which is what they call him in this movie. Yeah.
Who gets brought into a civilized society where everybody is like, ooh, look at the wild savage man who's basically just, you know, a regular person brought into this future. And then, I think by the end of it, I don't think it ends good for him. But I think that's the general gist of the novel, right?
Yeah.
Just kind of poking fun at like all of these things that, you know, ooh, you reproduce like, you know, the natural way. That's like inhuman. You know, I think one of the slurs that he throws at somebody is to call him father. That's like one of the worst things that you can say. And, you know, because people don't have this. It's that whole.
Sure.
Group think utopia and they live in a utopia and don't know that it, you know, that there's any problem with this. That's mm-hmm. in the movie, Demolition Man. What makes it kind of interesting is like, you've got a utopia that's, it's not totalitarian, but it has this central figure at the head of it, you know? And so that's where it's kind of like, okay, so even though he's engineered the perfect utopia, he wants to recruit Simon Phoenix to help him purge the criminal element, which are all these free-thinking people who are led by
Dennis Leary.
The Dennis Leary character, yeah. Edgar Friendly, right?
Edgar Friendly, yes.
Who have been, you know, robbing... Well, basically, I mean, that's the thing. They're not even... They haven't been, like, forced 64. Underground, right? They just chose to live underground because they don't want to live by the rules of society.
Right.
And in doing so, there's
a fuck ton of people down there, too. Yeah. It is packed down there.
And it seems like the rest of society just lets them live under there. They don't necessarily mm-hmm. like them, but they're not, like, sending squads down there to, like, hunt them down and kill them. They're mm-hmm. just like, all right, live under there.
Well, that made me wonder about, like what the... There's nobody to send... There's no squad of people to send under there. Because in this future, like, I keep... Every time I see this movie, I'm like... What qualifications do these police officers have to be police officers other than it's like, I want to be a police officer.
But when there's no crime, well, you know, what are you doing if you're a cop? Basically nothing in this movie. Right. So their standards are pretty low because you don't have to actually do anything.
Right. But they've never had any training either.
No, because like, they don't know how to deal with Wesley Snipes when he breaks out.
Well, because when it's like Maniac. There's a 187, they're like, well, what's a 187? And they kind of offload that as I suppose in the way that we do with a lot of things. You go look it up on their Google.
Thanks
right?
to rap, we all know what a 187 is.
Yeah.
There's a movie. Isn't Sam Jackson in it? 187.
For those of you who don't know, it's a murder death kill.
Yeah. Which brings up a whole other thing in this movie. The fucking language in this movie is insane. Like,
yeah.
Joy.
They go out of their way to make things more complicated. Like, yeah. Like a phone is a fiber optic. I'll fiber optic you back was what she said to a guy at some point.
Oh, boy.
Car is a conveyance.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then everything is just super textbook definition explanations.
Right, and they're lengthening words. Like, it's almost more effort to do their stupid slang than it is to just speak regular words.
Yeah, yeah. A homicide is a murder, death, kill.
Murder, death, kill. TikToks.
An MDK, as some people call it, which TikToks is great.
Yeah.
TikToks.
Well, what's the point of, like, changing the language like that? Is it just to, you know, separate that society from ours? So through the Sylvester Stallone character, we're just like, this is an alien world that he's in.
As an element of the movie, yes. It's to make the future world more alien to him. Because they have to change it somehow, so he's not just walking back into people speaking the same language and just kind of acting differently. They're trying to make it more of a man out of time, so they make the future different in ways that, you know, maybe not necessarily would happen, but are obviously like, oh, this is how they speak, it's different, this is how they dress, it's different, and all that.
But it has, like, this, the side effect of this is, like, it makes the actors all, like, extremely uncomfortable because they have to, like, chew through this, like, just bizarre, like, nobody has ever spoken like this in the history of man, right?
Right.
So that's, like, I think it's why Sandra Bullock comes off a little bad.
Right.
It's like, but her and all, everybody who's not Stallone or Wesley Snipes comes off as bad because they're spouting all this gobbledygook that's like just silliness.
It's kind of funny because it's almost like a modern dumbed down Shakespeare. Because Shakespeare wrote
kinda,
like that too.
Yeah.
He wrote everything very long and very or expanded in everything. So it's kind of like that, except it's in the reverse.
Pentameter man, he had a rhythm.
Right,
that's true. No, I'm not true. I'm not saying it's equal to Shakespeare. Yeah. I'm just saying it's
yeah.
How dare you say it's equal to Shakespeare? Oh my god!
I would never say that about Bill ever.
Do you guys think Murder, Death, Kill was like a placeholder in the script, and then it just never got changed out?
Right. Yeah.
They were like, "Oh, we'll come up with another word later," and they just, so it was just like murder slash death kill. They did like a slashes in between. Like, we'll come up with it.
They did like a search and replace on their computer, and one got missed, and they're like, we're leaving it.
Yeah, fuck it.
We're leaving it.
Yeah. It's like, why'd you say homicide when you could say, well, all three? Yeah, homicide could mean all three of these. A murder, a death, and a kill. No, you can't. Death. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. That's,
but a murder always results in a death.
I have a theory. There was like four writers that worked on this. It was each one of their version.
I started reading the original guy's script.
Did you?
A little bit. Yeah. And it was very different. The names were all different. It was Wade versus, I think it was still a Simon, but he didn't have the Simon Phoenix thing going on. It's Simon Says, do this, Simon or whatever.
But, I love that. Yeah. I love that so much.
Daniel, if you ever have a bad guy in the 90s and his name is Simon, Simon Says is going to come up.
Like
Die Hard 3.
Yeah.
The other really good Die Hard movie.
No, Daniel Waters, when he got a hold of this, he Brave New World the shit out of it. Mm-hmm. He really did.
So is he the one who brought that element?
He did. Yeah, it was all him.
He renamed the character Huxley, obviously. So
it was all him. Yeah. Joel Silver came in and he just
exploded it.
He threw money at the other people, was like, get the fuck out. This is Daniel's now. We're done.
I'm gonna go blow some shit up.
Daniel Waters had written Joel Silver's passion project, Hudson Hawk.
That's right.
Oh, wow.
He did.
Well, he also Heathers and Batman.
He did Heathers, which is why everyone says greetings and salutations. So it's a nod to Heathers.
Oh really?
Oh, shit.
Yeah. I'm telling you, everyone puts their own shit in this movie.
Yeah,
the whole thing.
No kidding.
They're like, well, this is mine. Heathers had, this is
like,
mine.
Everybody was, you know, there were certain ways of, you know, it was like an invented teen speak.
Mm-hmm.
So I think maybe that was what he was known
That's
for.
That's his thing. Like, yeah. Like he makes his own language. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The action scene in this movie, what do you think? Competent?
Fuck yeah.
Better than average. Awesome.
It's definitely what you expect from a 90s action.
Yeah,
I mean, they start out, like we said, blowing up a building. Fucking Stallone.
It's the biggest building explosion I've ever seen.
Yeah. It's a big building.
Yeah.
They blow that shit
up. They blow it up.
If you come into this with the 90s mindset and not think watching it in 2017, but think of watching it in 1993, it kicks ass.
Even still, it looks good on Blu-ray. It's aged pretty well, like, I think.
Sorry, I had to throw that out there. Now, this is the nostalgia factor. I get it. I have those movies. Yeah. I saw this back in the day.
Can you imagine living in this era in a time?
Wait, 1993?
Yeah, 1993.
We did.
In the area. Well, hold on. In the area of giant action, in as part of the industry, and getting into a slump in whatchamacallit, buildings that were not condemned. Like, to get into the slump of, like, country. There's nothing in L.A.
No, that was, like, Kentucky or something. Ah. It wasn't L.A. where they shot
them. I mean, I suppose so.
You just got to find a big-ass building.
You just got to find a big building. There's always one coming down somewhere.
Yeah.
Ooh, do you think they have, like, a guy they call for that? They have, like, a big empty building guy? They're like, hey, he can hook us up with any big-ass building.
Oh, yeah. I guarantee you.
Chuck, I need a building.
Him up, probably. Yeah. Like, hey, I saw you blow up the moon. Then he did The Matrix and blew out all the windows and then went, no, I don't know.
We should talk about Wesley Snipes going to the museum. That has some interesting moments
I think
it.
We haven't talked about Wesley Snipes enough.
Yeah.
Like, probably not.
We just need to talk.
He's great. I love anytime he's fighting, there are record scratches lined up with his punches.
Yes.
Yeah, we got very 90s in his first fight sequence with the cops outside of the...
And that music.
Jesus. So great.
So great.
So very great. Colin's like, you're all insane.
Insane. Like painful in that, yeah.
But, he's so animated. You can't not have those sound effects.
That's what I'm saying.
You need it.
That... But I'm trying to, well, maybe I shouldn't, divorce the character from the actor. It's like Wesley Snipes. I mean, this is like young Wesley Snipes before the Troubles, right?
Yeah.
Like, and before the diva behavior or whatever that he became known for later on. It's like, this was
Hey, let's talk nicely about the man.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. No,
we need
Snipes.
To take a minute. And,
I was about to.
Thank you for listening.
As a, as an actor, well, I mean, he'd had like his dramatic stuff in the Spike Lee movies and that. But like, you know, he has a physicality to him, which I think, you know, because you're like, well, who do you put against Sylvester Stallone, right? You know, he can. He's a capable, athletic performer, but he's also got like this kind of boisterous personality, which I think like also helps. You know, which is weird that he did Blade, where you basically have to do the opposite.
Right, mm-hmm. He's very toned down.
Yeah, it's like, why did you want to do Blade? When
it's
like,
awesome.
So aside from Demolition Man, it's a favorite Wesley Snipes movie.
Passenger 57.
That's a good one.
That is a good one.
That is a good one. Probably Blade.
I love Blade. Yeah,
yeah. All right, take away Blade. Yeah. Okay. That's too obvious.
I was like, are you insane? It's Blade.
Yeah.
Anybody see Drop Zone?
Oh, my God.
Drop Zone? Yes. Drop Zone? I love Drop Zone. Wesley, if you're listening, I love Drop Zone. Please, sequel to Drop Zone. That's a good movie.
I just want to see him make more movies where he can be this insane and off the wall. I love it.
But has that era of movies just gone by?
I think you can't make stuff like this anymore.
But that's almost what I think, like, in the 1990s, in this era. We're saying in 1993, I think that era was coming to its end. I almost see this entire movie as kind of like...
The Last Gasps?
Yeah, because it is, like, the action movie genre and the strongman action hero, right? Like, is, from the point of view of the film...
Last Action Hero was 1993. That kind of signaled a...
Yeah,
a death knell of this kind of movie, didn't it? But after that was Shane Black was kind of that whole era. Was that before, during this time, 1993?
What are we talking about, Shane Black? Because he wrote the Lethal Weapon movies,
right? But also like Long Kiss Goodnight, Last Boy Scout. What years were these movies?
Last Boy Scout was 91, somewhere near 91, 92. But I guess, you know, the point I was trying to make is that it seems like the characters in the film regard the action hero as this kind of like outdated,
antiquated,
you know, creature who solves all of his problems by storming in with both barrels blazing, you know, and like, this is intolerable behavior.
Yes.
But the argument of the movie, which I think goes back to like, I mean, this, it feels like this is, you know, the cult of personality around both Stallone and Joel Silver is that, and you know, it's voiced, I think, given voice by the Dennis Leary character, is that, you know, it's like, this is like the true free expression of, you know, the last, like, you know, it's like the motorcycle guys or something like that. Yeah. It's like, you know, the freedom for the defenders of freedom.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So Wesley Snipes at the museum.
Yeah, I'm like, every time I talk, I kill the conversation.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like you're saying, like the equivalent of that, since you were saying that this was kind of like this era of movie making on its way out, like Wesley Snipes and Stallone at this point represent that in this movie as the actors.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Okay, I get that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
So that's why there wasn't like a whole bunch, because you were saying, bemoaning the fact that they didn't make stuff like this after this. And that's why these guys didn't have really that opportunity, or especially Snipes, who I think was on his way up while Stallone was on his way, you know, whatever. This is like the midpoint of the career before the fall of like,
before, I mean,
Daylight or, you know,
right. Like, yeah. I mean, Copland and what have you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Copland's a good movie.
That's what I hear.
It's a good movie. It's just, it's not an action film.
No, sure. But that's what I'm saying. Like,
he realized I'm getting older,
right?
And I need to, you know,
it's the older roles. Stallone.
Yeah.
He would go back and revisit some of his stuff later on, Rambo and whatnot.
Yeah, obviously, after like Rocky, Get
but
Carter.
That's,
and
right, but that's
Angela
the down. Oh, Get Carter and like, Drive and shit.
Yeah.
A different era of Stallone. Yeah. Where, like, yeah, you're right. This stuff wasn't around anymore. It's just like nobody wanted to see that.
And after the Blade movies, like Wesley Snipes, then.
That was it.
Yeah, right?
Mm-hmm, well, pretty much.
But he's
correct us
stuff.
If we're wrong, Mr. Snipes.
Oh. Yeah, please
I'm not saying that was it. I'm just saying as far as like
Because we
big
want
stuff.
You back.
Yeah, come on.
What, nobody's so seen much. Jala Walker?
No, can't say I have.
Was he in Expendables?
I thought he was in one of them.
He was in one of them, right?
I thought he was in the first
the third
or
one?
Second one.
Third one. Mr. Snipes, please help us.
Correct us.
Wesley, come on. We know you're listening.
Seems like... Damn it, was he?
He was in,
I'm like,
yeah.
It's Antonio in Banderas, right? But that's like the part that would have been the Wesley Snipes part.
Or Snipes was in two. Look it up, Holly.
Yeah,
we should know this.
Yeah. We should. I know he was looking in it. Like, it has to be a thing. If Mel Gibson was in one, he was in one, right?
Yeah.
He's the I would hope guy. So. Well,
then Wesley Snipes was, he deserves.
He was in three.
I knew it.
Mm-hmm.
He was in part three.
There you go.
Yeah.
You remember it so well.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't see any of those movies.
All right, so Wesley Snipes in the museum.
He's going to get a gun, and this is the only place you can find guns in this society is in a museum. And when he walks in, he's like at this terminal, and there's a group of Asian children that walk by him. And Wesley Snipes, if you're listening, this is not a criticism of you or any actor choice you may have made. In our minds, we're going to believe that this was in the script.
Sure.
he looks at the Asian people walking by in kimonos and rice paddy hats and goes ching, ching, chong, chong at them as they walk by.
God.
Really weird moment in this movie because it just... It's just weird. It doesn't fit in with anything. It doesn't line up with anything we know about this character.
I maintain that it was method acting.
Well, we came up with the whole story as to this movie. So he's been frozen, right?
Yeah.
And when he was existing,
what I'm saying. Yeah.
So for all he knows, this is, like, everyone's wearing kimonos and shit in the future. They've all taken over, and he feels, you know, like they're closing in on him, you know?
Yeah.
So,
right.
Yeah.
And not to say that it was right for him to feel that way earlier on, but that is still the same way he feels this far into the future.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's a horrible future where you have to wear kimonos all the time. Yeah. Am I right?
And
kimonos
are comfortable as shit.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure they are, and who doesn't want to be comfortable? Robe. And I'm just napping all the time.
Yeah.
I want to nap all the time anyway. So.
I mean, don't we all? That's half the reason I get dressed up is just to keep me awake.
Yeah, that's true.
What was that? Wasn't that part of the museum called like a History of Violence or something like that? It had a really cool name. Really cool name. Yeah, I was like, awesome.
What the fuck was it called?
It was something.
The Hall of Violence.
That's cool.
It's like the Hall of Justice. The Hall of Violence is the opposite. Yes.
Yeah, I'd go to that museum.
Did you? Right?
I would too.
It being weird that for police who have no training, that Sandra Bullock somehow magically acquired the ability to do martial arts.
She didn't magically do it.
Jackie Chan movies.
Come on.
She wasn't good at it. She wasn't, but she kicked the guy in the nuts like 6 times. That was her karate.
No, it could be done.
You have seen from Dumb and Dumber there.
Yeah. It can be done. I roundhouse kicked my brother before just from watching movies. Yeah. It can be done.
That's true.
She wasn't that skilled at it. She really wasn't.
Who didn't try roundhouse kicking people after seeing like Lethal Weapon 3?
Right?
Tries to show Murtaugh how to do the roundhouse kick?
Yeah.
How many times did I try that on my brother? We tried it a lot.
Yes.
That's what we did.
I successfully did it.
As far as watching movies and mimicking them,
oh shit,
Demolition Man was one of them.
Yeah.
Where Snipes,
movies are bad because he's in the copy it.
Yeah, but I'm not actually going to shoot people.
You fucking roundhouse kicked your brother.
That's different.
He did it to me too. When we're playing, you know, when you kids play guns back in the day, like I was Wesley Snipes when he does the to the guns and he goes out shooting. I did that a lot when I was a kid.
Yeah.
It's just what you do.
Yeah.
He seems like he's having so much fun in this movie.
He does.
I love that.
He's having fun.
This is
biscuits and gravy.
This is from Dennis Leary. He said that Wesley Snipes was so adamant about doing his own stunts. He would do the stunt, and then after he left, they would redo it with some people and, like, not tell him.
Did you read the thing about, like, his punches and kicks in the movie?
Oh, yeah. They were too fast.
But he's, a third-degree black belt.
Couldn't capture it on camera?
Yeah, he had to slow it down.
Yeah, he's a third-degree black belt, and, like, they looked weird on camera because he punches and kicks so fast. So that's why he's, like, kind of jerky with this punch.
Yeah. He literally had to slow it down.
Too fast for 90 cameras, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Couldn't they not capture Bruce Lee on camera?
Yeah.
Isn't that a thing?
It's too fast.
Mm-hmm. Just too fast?
Too fast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, did he have to slow? I think he was an urban legend. It's slow it down, Bruce.
It's like too fast to be caught on the camera.
Yeah.
Just like Jackie Chan in Rush Hour.
Yeah.
Or whoever fights. Well, there's that scene with Chris Tucker. Which one of y'all hit me? You know,
Jackie Chan was Bruce Lee's stand in.
This has turned into like a Wesley Snipes love fest.
Who doesn't? Why don't we have? Why don't you love
We have
Wesley
a good
Snipes?
Reason.
I do. I said I did like Wesley Snipes.
Okay, let's just put it out there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
All right. Go for it.
Wesley Snipes may have liked Michaela's post on Instagram. Yeah, about Demolition Man.
We posted that we were watching Demolition Man, and if anyone wanted us to explain the three seashells or any other questions about this movie, let us know. Wesley Snipes liked that post, which can only mean one of two things. He's either an avid listener of the Freak Show.
Every week.
Yeah.
He tells his friends about us.
Yeah.
And so we have famous fans.
Soon we'll have him introducing the show, I'm sure.
Of course. Like, I'm Wesley Snipes, and you're listening to the Saturday Night Freak Show.
I messaged him. I'm sure he'll get back to me soon.
Right. Yeah. He's busy, so he'll take him a little bit, but he'll get back to us.
I also messaged him.
He's going to hate us by the time this is done. It's like, who are these people?
We're going to get a restraining order.
Even better.
So it's going to be up to me.
Wesley
to, like,
Snipes
go
doesn't
after.
Want you to hear.
Bring it. Perfect. Please file one against us.
Oh, please. Yes. That's what we need.
That's better.
We need
people to sue us. I like that better. We need an anti-endorsement. Something. Yeah.
Well, you know, Adam Carolla also liked her post.
Also. Now we're just name dropping. Yeah. Now we're getting cocky.
Yeah. Not nearly as cool. No
because
offense.
Because I think he's a big Wesley Snipes fan.
That's true. Yeah. That's gotta be it.
He hates us, but
I could backtrack Wesley Snipes finding this post because I hashtag Wesley Snipes and Demolition Man. Makes sense. But how the fuck did Adam Carolla find his way to this post? That's
because
what I
they
know.
Both because are Adam looking Wesley Snipes hashtags. So what's Wesley
because
Snipes
in,
up to?
Because
what's
in 1993, Adam Carolla was the shit. He had Loveline. He had The Man Show. He was big back
then.
Oh,
that's really sad when you put it that way. So he's like browsing photos on Instagram to like relive the glory days.
What's Wesley Snipes doing?
And Adam Carolla, if I'm wrong, tell me I'm wrong.
But he was in this movie, Adam Carolla. This is so tangentially related. It's just from the same time period. Yeah. That's all it is.
Those were his glory days.
Hey, man, he likes what he likes, and that doesn't change over 20 years.
That's when he took the team to state.
I will welcome any and all famous people certified accounts liking my post.
Yeah,
bring it, you know.
Spread the word, folks.
Why not? Yeah, as long as they hit the retweet button.
Yeah, well, that would be better, Mr. Snipes, if you do that next
time. All right, we got to get out of this. So does that bring us to the end? So there's no love for Sylvester Stallone in this movie?
No, I think
he does what Sylvester Stallone does.
I don't think he's on the internet as much.
He is? What the hell are you talking
about? As much. I don't think he's on all the time
posting pictures about his girls doing their whatever.
Oh, is he really?
Yeah, but he's the guy who gets on social media to post stuff, not to react to anything else.
I don't think he's going to be browsing Demolition Man hashtags.
No.
If anything, it's probably Rocky or something better.
You never know. Maybe this is his favorite movie.
I doubt it.
Because he would have made four of them if it was.
Actually, Sylvester Stallone said that the hours filming the cryogenic scene were the worst 5 hours of his film career.
Did he have to be
probably had to like fake drown, which
he
is
had
awful.
To like fake drown in this horrible claustrophobic tank, and he's all naked and KY jelly. It was like 5 hours. He said it was the worst part of his
career.
So
why did he want to memorialize then playing at Hollywood then? Like,
he's like, I worked my ass off and suffered for this shit. It's going up so everybody can see it.
Yeah.
If I have the story about it, then
it'll
make
the
whatever.
Like a play. Is there a version
there's gotta
of him
be
in
one
it?
On eBay somewhere, right?
Yeah, like, he's in it.
He's in it.
Well, yeah, I know.
Yeah.
But right, because But yeah, if you have that, you show that off.
You're damn right.
If anyone's selling one, please message us.
Did you see his butt? Of course he wants to show that.
Look at that dick. That's a great.
Are they anatomically correct? You'll find out when you order one on eBay. I'm sure they have to be somewhere. Yeah. Or at least
there's
they've gone
there.
Through the
because
process.
Every Planet Hollywood had one. So.
Oh.
How many Planet Hollywoods were there? At least 10?
Probably.
I don't know. There's
probably around there. I don't know. I wonder. It couldn't have been too many. Just in the big cities.
Yeah.
So is that... Yeah. Wrap up, Demolition Man.
I mean, he kicks his head off,
and it's awesome.
He keeps his promise from the beginning of the movie.
And,
can't ask for much more than that.
And Sting takes us out.
With a horrible.
Do you want to sing a bit of that for a show?
I didn't. I can't remember it now. I can't remember the melody.
Demolition.
Dead heat.
That's the only one I can remember.
Like, stay out of the way of the Demolition Man. It was something like
that. Yeah, I don't remember how it goes. I was singing it.
And you were singing it like all the way up until we started recording.
It was no Ballad of Harry Warden.
Hell no.
I would sing it for you, folks, if I could remember the melody.
Dead heat. You remember two words.
Dead heat.
That's what I was telling them earlier. Like
verse.
You had to, the songs of these era, like, they consisted of 1 to 4 words, and that's all they needed, because they needed to just be catchy for you to remember it.
Yeah.
Usually they consisted of the title of your movie, so that they could advertise the song and the movie at the same time.
Yeah.
Mm.
Very simple stuff.
Yeah.
That's all you needed. And thank God for it. And I still can't remember it.
Are they doing that now? Where's the Avengers theme? Avengers are coming to save the day.
No, that has an original score.
Like, that's the Trey Parker and Matt Stone version of it.
Yeah.
That's what that sounded like. They're coming to save the day. They don't do that. I wish I would buy that soundtrack.
No, like
you say that every week, but you never buy any soundtracks.
I bought one.
What'd you buy?
That thing.
It wasn't the My Bloody Valentine, which it I think wasn't. We have recorded. He said, I'd buy that.
I would buy that. I'm just not there yet. Do I have to buy it right away? Jesus.
Answer is yes. No, okay. Igor, where are you with our mail, sir?
Masters, the mail. I've got the mail. So many letters. Our followers are rising.
Why, thank you, Igor.
Thanks, Igor.
We should get him overalls and a mesh tank top.
He's wearing a little beret. He's got
the John Spartan beret.
The John
Spartan which beret. Made its appearance again in Expendables.
Oh, I think that's just a Stallone thing, isn't it?
Now he's losing his hair.
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, he's old. He's like 70, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's fucking old. God, he looks
good, though.
In this movie, they talk about him being 74. Not far off now, am I right?
He looks much better in this movie.
Yeah.
So about Demolition Man, Nicholas Capriola writes in and says, this is one of my favorite movies to watch.
You're damn right, Caps. You're damn right.
Ryan Burrett writes in and says, I love this movie. It is hilarious.
It is, Ryan. Thank you.
These are all statements of fact.
Right? Yeah. are these questions? You said you can write in anything.
Right.
Where? Yeah. Where? On Facebook.
.com/Saturday Night Freak Show.
Twitter.
We did this. @SatFreakShow.
We did this, yeah.
And email.
SaturdayNightFreakShow@yahoo.com.
Right. And someone named Tobias Scott. That's a nice name.
Who's that guy? Huh?
Says,
seems like a cool guy.
Yeah. How do you think the three seashells work? Well Tobias.
Yeah, we got it.
The Elusive Man writes in and says, ha-ha, we just had a discussion on the Future Monkeys podcast regarding three seashells and how they work.
He did this to plug his own podcast.
Yep. Nice. You son of a bitch.
We should redact that. We should just make it bleep it out.
About our episode, Leprechaun, G-Money writes in.
G-Money.
He says, Leprechaun 1 is a classic. 2 and 3 I watch more often. Warwick Davis is as good in 1 as he was in Willow, but stay away from Leprechaun Origins.
Nobody loves The Hood. No, can't get any love for
The Hood. I love The Hood.
I might really like The Hood, and if I watch it, I'm sure it's
Yeah, did he just skip over 2 movies?
Racial?
Yeah, he did.
The two, the
he
two
didn't
in
even
the
mention
hood?
In Space.
Is that 3?
That's 4.
Oh, shit.
Three's when he goes to Vegas.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. About our episode, Dune, Chris Huddleston writes in and says, I haven't read Dune or seen the movie yet, but just reading the description that you posted on your Facebook has me confused. Thanks for the giallo.
there's a reason for that, Chris. All right.
He says, thanks for the giallo recommendations. Shudder has both movies that we recommended, and they're both very good. You need a spinoff giallo show.
No.
I say yes. We're doing it, and it's going to be called, I don't know, giallo shots.
No. Did you just come up with that right now?
Did you just do that?
No. I was going to say, there's no
I'm not that smooth.
Oh, my God. Did you steal that from someone?
Probably.
Oh, my God.
That
should have just claimed it as brilliance, because copyright.
I really thought that was the most clever you've ever been.
Never. That would have been
Oh, that's what it feels like? When
that was it.
Oh, my God.
You can see why people do it.
Basking it, Colin. Just basking it.
Wow.
Okay, then we've got from
Thanks, Chris Huddleston.
Yeah. Thanks, Chris. And from our Ghoulies 2 episode.
Holy shit. Wow. Going back a little bit.
Going back.
Cesar Resendez says in Spanish, so translated by Facebook, baby geniuses and the Ghoulies. It's strange to know that at one time they dominated the cinemas. Today they are pure garbage.
Truth.
It's also possible that he said something about baby geniuses and Ghoulies. It's strange that, at one time they were considered shit and now everything else is pure garbage? We don't know. But I read it because you sent it in.
Well, thank you,
Cesar.
We need a Spanish-speaking member of the podcast.
Yep. And now, friends.
Wait, was our podcast translated?
No, just the comment.
No, but like he's obviously, obviously Hispanic.
Yeah.
Does not speak English. So,
wrote in Spanish.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Facebook
like, is our podcast
is in English?
Ooh.
Is in English.
But he wrote in Spanish.
Does he listen, or did someone translate this whole podcast to Spanish?
I'm just curious. Yeah, I'm curious.
Are we dubbed in Spanish somewhere?
Or great. Oh, see, I'm gonna.
Who plays
this
me?
Is the horrible. Like, I'm gonna bring you back down to reality. Somebody shared a photo from Facebook, and okay. Right down to the. crashing. Okay. Sorry.
Okay.
All right. No, I mean, it's an awesome alternate universe. Where
wow.
People are listening to us.
We're big in the Spanish language. Community.
Hey, Wesley Snipes is listening, out. Okay?
Yeah, right. If you're listening, Cesar, please write back. So this brings us to the final segment of our show where you're going to find out what each of the internet radio superstars thought of Demolition Man.
Colin! What did you think? Demolition Man.
Demolition Man. Interesting movie. Like I said at the beginning, I think these two halves of it, the brainless action movie, which it's brainless, right? I mean, because seriously, all they talk about, all the dialogue can be conveyed in one-liners. Everybody's trying to one-up each other in one-liners. So Stallone says a one-liner, reaches around the corner, starts shooting, Snipes dodges, jumps up, says a one-liner, shoots back. That's the entire movie, basically, and it's action. This was one of those situations where I was like, huh, I don't really care about the action scenes in this movie, like, at all. The stunts aren't done terribly well or memorable. Serviceable, maybe? I mean, they work, I suppose. They're on screen, but they're not like anything that you'd be like, the action in Demolition Man is awesome. The thing that I think you remember Demolition Man for is where it is working, where it's these little satiric scenes, the, you know, the sex helmets, the three seashells, you know, the swearing meter, you know, giving you the ticket for, mm-hmm. like, all of those little critiques on society when it's doing that stuff, even though, you know, I think it's extremely silly. Silly in that it's almost like you're embarrassed for the actors who are in this movie. Because like especially it. Like Benjamin Bratt and Sandra Bullock.
Yeah. They
maybe not Rob Snyder, because he is a comedian. He's gonna look like an idiot.
That's what he
anyway.
Does.
Yeah.
But you know, those people, I'm like, oh, this is like, you know, you're killing your career here by like doing these things. And but they, you know, do it the way that, you know, you're asked to perform in these things. I'm sure that's why they're like, ah, people like Demolition Man. I kind of wish that movie would just kind of go away.
Those are Dennis Leary's thoughts, by the way. He hates this movie.
He does.
I think everybody associated with it is like,
he hates this movie.
I know, but like Nigel Hawthorne, who played the lead bad guy, like Cacto. He was like, he fucking hates it. He was like, I only did it so they'd pay me so I could go make The Madness of King George. And, you know, I mean, like nobody who was in this movie likes being associated with the movie afterwards.
Wesley Snipes, correct us if we're wrong.
Even though it has, okay, aside from
he liked it, so he's like, hey, someone.
Well, because I grant you that it has a cult following, and I think this is because, like, again, there's a disconnect here between I think it's embarrassing if you were performing in the movie, right? I would say that, you know, you would say that this is not my best work, or this is some kind of silly thing that I did. But on the other side of it is that the there's a cult following about the movie because, you know, I suppose there is about any science fiction movie that tries to predict the future, right?
Yeah.
So in the year 2032, there's going to be Demolition Man screenings like all over the place on the Tonight Show. If it still exists, you know, they'll have some kind of, you know, whatever.
They're going
like,
to Back to the Future to it.
Yeah. Yeah. Look at the funny shit that, you know, was on, because this is only, what, like 15 years from now? Stallone will still be around. Snipes will still be around. They'll be able to duke it out on.
Don't make that face, Sean. You'll curse him.
Yeah, no. What the? Still got 20 good years in him. He's healthy as an ox.
I mean, I guess so.
Yeah, so it. I think nostalgia goes a long way with this movie. I think if you've seen it before, you know, it's like you can see it again. I think any kid watching it today would like just, this would be like intolerable kind of. But I think, you know, unless you're a cinephile, in which case, you know, it's like, well, you know, you do have this kind of critique or satire of, you know, where the country, where they thought the country was going, or, you know, where it ended up and, you know, what, you know, they're arguing for in this. So for that, it's like, it's an interesting movie. I think I like it more than I dislike it, right? I mean, I was sitting here watching it, and I think, like, when it's actually working in those little bits and pieces, as a relic, it's a time capsule of 1993, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's fun. It's a lot of fun. So I still had fun with it. I'm glad they're not making this type of movie anymore. But this one, I'm okay with. So I would recommend The Demolition Man. The Demolition
Man. I was gonna say, it's not The, it's just Demolition Man.
I would recommend Demolition Man.
No, he was. He said what he meant to say. He's like, yeah. I recommend The Demolition Man. That's his easy way of
getting
out of it.
Let me see the video box.
Yeah. Where's the film? Demolition Man. For movies like this, it's always a fight against nostalgia when looking back at something like this. It does have a cult following. I mean, you have to look at, like, is it a good movie? Is my view of it now being colored about of the strong feelings I had for it in the past? Because, I mean, if you grew up with something like this, you have strong feelings towards it. I think that was demonstrated by at least the three of us who grew up with it. Colin, did you grow up with it? Well, I mean, like, this was a constant thing in my childhood. Like, just on a lot. I mean, I think that's why we have such an affinity for these movies.
I've seen it multiple times. Okay. Let's put it that way.
So, I mean, you're always looking at it, it's like, is it actually good, or am I just looking at it through the lens
of...
Does it matter? I don't know. I think for movies like this, you notice some of the... Watching it now, and I haven't seen it for a few years, you notice more of, like, probably the cheesiness of it, but, I mean, they make the characters like that. And it's a hard one for me. I mean, I still have fun with it. It's still... And I guess nostalgia has a lot to do with that. But I still have fun with this movie. I mean, everybody seems like, at the time, no matter what they're thinking of it now, they were having fun. I mean, definitely Wesley Snipes had fun.
I really think so. I mean, Wesley Snipes, yeah, but everybody, like, I don't know. Like, some of that dialogue, I mean, to be like, we're just trusting you, Marco Brambilla. What's his name? Marco Brambilla. He was a video installation director.
The only other thing he directed was Excess Baggage.
With Alicia Silverstone?
With Alicia Silverstone.
Oh, my God. Really?
I was so disappointed to find that out. I literally have an unhappy face on my notes here.
Doesn't she get kidnapped?
Isn't that the thing? She stages her own kidnapping, I think. It was a terrible movie.
Wow.
Terrible.
Another one that was just happening around.
Yeah.
But, you know, Demolition Man, I think, is still... I still had fun with it. There's still scenes in this movie that I get a kick out of. I mean, like we always said, Wesley Snipes in the Hall of, what was it called?
Hall of Violence.
Yeah. Just have something called the Hall of Violence. It's pretty funny. As cheesy as some of the stuff is and some of the some ways the actors have to act for their characters, but it's still good. I still like it. I definitely recommend it. It's still fun. Still get a kick out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. So growing up, my dad is like a diehard Arnold fan, so I wasn't allowed to watch Stallone movies.
Oh, damn. That's what I was going to ask. Does that divide?
You got to be one or the other.
The only one I was allowed to watch is Rocky because that's an exception. Yeah. So like that was like all I knew Stallone for a long time, actually. About 2 years ago, I did something. I discovered a lot of Stallone's like not so great movies.
I did what I called
that's on my list, actually. I did what I call Stallone-a-thon. And that includes Demolition Man, Rhinestone, Stop or My Mom Will Shoot.
Stop or My Mom Will Shoot.
Cobra, Tango and Cash, and my favorite Stallone movie ever, Over the Top.
Yeah. I love Over the Top.
Cliffhanger is good, too. Yeah.
So, like, I just binged them all at once and kind of took them all in, and I was like, might break my dad's heart a little bit, but I think I prefer his movies more just because there's a much more wider range of ridiculousness in Stallone movies, and I love that. And this is, like, the height of Stallone ridiculousness, I think. I think this and Over the Top, it doesn't get any more over the top than those two movies.
I saw John Lithgow in a helicopter. I mean, come on.
I do love John Lithgow.
But this movie is absolutely insane in all the best ways, and I love it. It's got all the best amounts of 90s nostalgia, but it's also just like, it's just so much fun. And even though I think this movie's perfect, it does have one
perfect
continuity. Perfect. Yeah, perfect.
I can't even do that. Call it perfect.
This movie's perfect.
It does have one continuity issue.
Oh, no.
Is just his one. Hair off?
So this movie was made in 93, mm-hmm. but it takes place in 96. And when Wesley Snipes is releasing all the prisoners at the end, he says, Jeffrey Dahmer. I want to meet Jeffrey Dahmer. Like, he's excited to release him from cryo jail. Yeah. Jeffrey Dahmer was beat to death with a broomstick in 1994. So He was killed in prison before this movie even took place the first time. Yeah, so he would have never been frozen in cryo jail. Yeah, but but the movie took place in 1996. Yeah, this movie came out in 93,
but Jeff Dahmer would still be alive.
He was still alive at the time they made this movie, but but because of the timeline in the movie, it doesn't work.
But in the movie, he would have been frozen, so he wouldn't have died in prison.
Oh, saved.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah,
sorry.
And we've put it to rest.
Just never mind. There's no continuity errors. It's perfect. It's a perfect movie.
It's perfect.
It's perfect.
Who knew this podcast would fall apart with Jeffrey Dahmer?
But yeah, definitely watch it. I love it. Put it in your Stallone-a-thon. Save it for second to last.
It belongs in the Stallone-a-thon.
Second to last, I think. I think right before Over the Top is a good spot for this guy. Yeah. Cliffhanger's great, too. Yeah.
Well, Demolition Man, guys. I fucking love this movie. It's so ridiculous. I do agree that the cheese factor could have been toned down a notch.
I mean, not for then though. Like that was just what they did. As far as accepting it as a good movie now, I think you have to look past the cheese factor.
It's true. The dialogue, man, it's so bad. It's so.
It was a hard one.
It's so bad and so great at the same time. I think this movie is so much fun. It's everything that you want. It's everything you want a 90s future action movie to be. It's just because I don't know. I feel like the humor in future movies pays out more than trying to be serious with future movies. A lot of times, as far as 90s movies go, because I think 90s movies try to be more serious with it.
We just make fun of them more.
Yeah, like, it's just, it seems more ridiculous. This, at least, you know, they're having fun with it, and I love that. I don't know. I just think it's so much fun. Wesley Snipes, this was actually the movie that, like, got me loving Wesley Snipes. It was after this movie that I recognized him in other movies, and I actively wanted to watch more of his movies. Obviously, I already knew who Stallone was, but this movie...
I think we're born knowing who Stallone is.
I think so.
Right? Like, that's just the thing?
My dad tried to shield me from that.
Right.
Yes, I still know.
No, he's too powerful. Stay back.
Yeah. I'm just picturing your dad, like, treating Stallone like he's, like, the devil.
Like, he walks into a
room. Stay away from my daughter. Yeah.
He walks into a room and, like, Nighthawks is on the TV, and he's just like, no!
But what happened with, like, Van Damme and Seagal and those
guys?
That
was all fine.
They were fine.
That was fine. These are not the same caliber. Like, these two are the same, you know,
so much so that in Last Action Hero, who got replaced on the Terminator poster?
But I feel like if you're watching, like, a Dolph Lundgren movie, he thinks it's, like, a gateway actor. You know? Like, it's going to turn you on to worse and harder actors like Stallone.
What did your dad do when Escape Plan came out?
Oh, I don't think he follows the current movies.
No, he's
I think as far as he's concerned, they're all retired.
Did he find Perfect Harmony when Expendables came out?
I think so.
Yeah.
Because I saw Bloodsport a million times.
Is that when he found peace in his life?
Yeah, like JCVD movies were totally fine. Like, I saw Bloodsport a million times as a kid.
Even the Dennis Rodman JCVD movies? Which were what? That was another peak 90s
thing. Oh, wow.
Come on. There were two movies, weren't there? Double Demon. And there's another one with him and Rodman.
Oh,
I swear
to
God there is. Unless this is like a Kazam Sinbad thing.
Oh, it might be.
I hope not.
Mandela Effect.
That might be a direct-to-video thing they did later.
There was a lot of those, yeah.
Maybe.
Sorry, this was your rep.
It's okay. No, this is exactly what I was getting at. I think in cases like this, the nostalgia factor doesn't matter. I think it's just a fun movie. And when you watch it with people that have that nostalgia, I think it makes it more fun. And I'm pretty sure that there's going to be more 90s action in the future of the Freak Show. I think Stallone has opened the gateway to more Van Damme and more Lundgren and more Seagal. And it's going to be glorious.
Have we done a Jean-Claude Van Damme movie?
No.
Seems like we should have by this point. Out of 200 episodes?
Yeah. Well, don't you worry, Sean. It's coming.
Oh, God. Double impact? He plays twins.
No spoilers. What? No spoilers.
Universal Soldier. Am I right? It's the team.
I mean, it probably should be.
I mean, you know how much I love Lundgren. So
it probably should be. I so, can't find another movie where they're both in it.
Oh shit! Are we gonna say
Mandela Effect?
Oh my god! It is.
Shit.
All right, I guess.
Well, with that,
there was the one where Van Damme fought himself. Maybe you had
that was Double Impact.
That was Double Impact.
Okay.
Yeah.
What did I say? Double Team.
He's double team.
That was Double Team.
Yeah. Van Damme's coming. Don't you worry.
Oh, yeah.
Van Damme's coming.
Demolition Man, I give it four.
Oh, God damn it.
I give it four.
No, you're not allowed.
Shut up. I give it four sex helmets.
Ah!
Yeah.
Out of how many sex helmets? If it's out of 10, this is bad.
Five. Out of five.
Four out of five sex helmets. Wow. Yeah.
So it's not a perfect movie. It's on the doorstep.
It's almost there.
It's right before the threshold.
I feel like his arm would have caught fire in the beginning with the gasoline and the blowtorch.
Right.
And
he would have been on fire.
He would have been on fire, and that bugged me. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it would have had five.
Mm-hmm. I give it two greetings and three salutations.
All right, so that's definitely on the Saturday Night Freak Show next week. Stay tuned, audience, because we're going to be watching a movie that Mikayla is going to pick. We don't even know what it is.
We have no idea.
What are we watching?
We're going to watch 2010's Rubber.
Rubber
about a murderous tire. You're gonna have fun, guys.
I have not seen this movie.
2010, not a 70s movie. This is a recent movie.
All right, I'm up for this.
Murderous tire.
Tire with telekinesis.
Fantastic.
So that's next week on the Saturday Night Freak Show. We hope you'll join us then. And until then, the basement is going dark.